Hey, what's up, guys? It's Vortex 00 doing a thoughts and analysis on working as part of a team, working in a group. And this is my experience from the perspective of somebody who makes hentai games and things like that. But it can be applied to basically anything. It can be you working with your next door neighbor to build a fence that's between y'all's yard. It could be you working with someone else on your school project in class. Maybe you're working with a group with your friend or whatever it is. This is basically my thoughts and analysis on working as part of a team. And basically, from my experience, you pretty much have to ask the question, what does that person do to earn income in real life? What does that person do to make a living in real life? That's what you have to ask yourself before you really decide to work with that person on the team, because that's going to gauge, from my experience, that's going to gauge how well you actually work together with that person. What am I talking about? All right, here's what I'm talking about. Basically, from what I can see, your work breaks down. There's basically two types of ways. There's this type of work that they do, quote unquote, breaks down into two different main categories. There's always exceptions and things like that, but we're not talking about the exceptions here. We're talking about, in general, it will break down into one of these two. This person will break down into one of these two categories, and you have to be in the same category to really be compatible. So one of the categories are, in the category that I'm in, is the person that does contract work, commission work. They have to go and look for work, or they have to market themselves and find work. They have deadlines for their work. They have requirements. Like, say if you're an artist and you're drawing for, that's how you survive. That's how you eat. That's how you earn income. That's how you make a living. You draw commissions. They're going to have requirements. They're going to have things that they want you to actually draw, how they want you to actually draw it. And you, as the person taking the commission, are going to want to draw that as fast as and as soon as possible, because if you take too long to draw something, the longer you take, the less it's actually worth doing for you. Let's say you're drawing something for $10. Well, you don't want to spend 10 weeks on that if that's how you make a living. See what I'm saying? You're not making any money. You want to finish that in a couple of hours, you know. Ideally, you want to finish that as fast as possible so you can move on to your next client or move on to your next customer, things like that. And you want to take, you know, the highest paying work, you know, over lower paying jobs, because that's how you eat. That's how you're going to live. That's what you have to do. That's like what you have to do to survive. So you can think of your project like that. I mean, say your project, you had to do this project or die. You know, how would they handle it? They would handle it like they handle working. Okay, so the next person, or the other category of work, is the people that actually don't do that. They don't have requirements, they don't have deadlines, they don't have changing work that changes based on the person who's asking them. They're pretty much doing the same thing day after day. The example that I have for this is like a cashier. You know, all they do is just ring up stuff. It doesn't really change. A store manager, a fast food restaurant person that works there, a waiter or waitress, you know, a bartender. You know, I'm not knocking those jobs. The point what I'm trying to say is the scope of work doesn't change, and there's no deadline. There's no offset deadline. Yeah, if you're like a waiter, you know, you want to get the food to the person, you know, as quickly as possible so you can get your tip. You know, a waiter's kind of in the gray area a little bit. But I'm talking about more so like a cashier. That's my best example that I have that I can think about right now. You know, people bring your products or bring the products that they're trying to buy. You ring it up and they leave. And that's pretty much day after day. It doesn't really change beyond that. You see what I'm saying? That's what your job is. So you have time to kind of, so you're not really concerned about that kind of stuff too much. You're not really used to having a deadline that's a few weeks out that you need to meet, and you have to do these requirements. See, when you're a cashier, you know, you kind of get used to the way that you like to actually do it. So like you get used to your way of doing things. Like you'll ring up some a certain kind of way, you know, you'll ask the person a certain amount of questions, you know, you get comfortable in your own way of doing it. Whereas opposed to contract work, you have to be on board with what they want, with what their requirements are, and it's less about the things that you actually are comfortable with. Like you have to step out of your own zone to do contract work. And these two different types of work clash when you're trying to work together with these different types of people. Someone who's a cashier really isn't going to work that well on a collaborative project with someone who draws commissions for a living. You know what I'm saying? The person, for example, the cashier is going to be very lax, not really concerned about time. They're going to think about things. They're going to have a lot of ideas. They're not really concerned about deadlines because they're not used to having any. They're just going to try to figure out where they're comfortable with, like what their zone is. They're used to seeing their own methods work for them. So like I'm saying with the example with the cashier, you know, they're comfortable. They see that what they have grown accustomed to doing day after day works. So they'll immediately try to find that kind of comfort zone when working on a project. While the contractor will be like, you know, forget all that comfort zone stuff. Here's what was explained to us. Here's the requirements. These requirements need to be there. Or the other guy will be like, you know, no, I don't really like this one. It doesn't really work. I don't think it works. Let's go back and find a different way. You know, we got time to do it. And the contractor guy's like, no, dude, let's just do it as it's stated. Let's not try to change anything. It needs to be the way it is. And of course the contractor working out some asshole, like he's not going to just blindly do something when there's an obvious glaring problem. But at the same time, that person's going to be a little more focused on getting the job done as is described and as quickly as possible. I don't know, just from what I've seen, people generally fall into one of these categories. And I've only been able to successfully work with people who fall into the same category as myself, the category of people who need to compete at their job, at their workplace. They need to compete and their job changes regularly those are the only people I've been able to actually work with. Everybody else, you know, some people, now it's not always black and white, right? So some people are in the gray areas. Like I said, the bartending job, that's a bit of a gray area. Jobs where you earn a commission for people buying stuff. Like you can work in auto sales, you know, but if you don't sell anybody any cars, you know, you have to sell people cars, you can get money. When selling houses, it's the same thing. You might work for some housing firm, you know, and you get a standard paycheck, but you know, you want to be trying to sell people houses so you can get more money. It's kind of like that. So there's gray areas. If you're in the gray area, you know, you'll get along with somebody on either side to a point. It won't be all the way smooth. So yeah, it's not too much to this working as a team. You just need to analyze what type of work you do and place it in a category. Are you the contractor type person that needs to go out and look for work and compete and have deadlines and need to hurry up, but you know, you want to get the next contract so you can continue making money? Or are you in the gray area? You're kind of the bartender, the auto salesman, the commission work. Maybe you work in appliances, or you work in some electronic store where you earn commissions, any type of commission work where you get a standard flat pay, but you get money from like tips or things like that. That's kind of the gray area. Or you're in the kind of, you know, it doesn't really, you're just day in day the same thing, and you get used to doing something your way. I think that's like the real problem where it clashes so hard, is the person that is used to doing the standard thing day after day gets used to doing something their way, and it really clashes with someone who's used to just following instructions as their desired. It's kind of like if I want to get my car painted red, I mean, it's so odd. It's like if I want to get my car, because I had this recent experience and it was just so odd, and I'll describe it in terms like this. If I wanted to get my car painted red, I would go to the, let's say I was trying to impress some chick, you know what I'm saying, or I told my family that I'm gonna get my car painted red to symbolize something, you know, or what. I had my own personal reasons for wanting this car red, right? Okay. So I went to the auto dealership or the paint shop or whatever, and I'm like, I want to get my car painted red. And that guy sits there and tells me, no, dude, you should totally get it painted blue, because more people will like it if it's blue. Because I know that every car that I've painted blue, other people have really liked my blue car painting color jobs. Like, I'm telling you, dude, get it painted blue because I know that people like it. And I'm like, dude, I don't give a fuck about how many people like it, okay? I have my reasons for getting it painted red. It's really odd. It's just like you go into a store and you want to buy some Skittles, and the cashier is like, no, man, you should get sneakers, because from what I can tell as a cashier, you know, more people are getting sneakers. More people like it. And it's so completely mind-blowing, but that is the contrast that happens when you have these two different categories of people trying to work together on a project. It's just like you will never see eye to eye for some reason. There's no middle ground Even if you work out a solution, that person will still, at the end of the day, not comprehend the fact that these are the requirements that are laid out. And I'm talking about my recent one thing, this applies to multiple people. My past experience in general has all, it's a culmination of everything that I've experienced from working with people in the past. But recently, the one guy that I was trying to work with to work on the Umi-chan sequel, we had this problem. This problem came up again. And it's just like, oh my gosh, dude. And then when I finally thought about it, I realized that, you know, it's related. It has to be related to what that person does for a living. And it just, so that's my thoughts on that. That's my rationale behind why things may or may not work out when working with somebody else on a collaborative project. And I'll move into the next topic. And so I just talked about why working on a team can or cannot work. And now I'll go over things that will help you better work with somebody else on a project. Now this assumes that you're helping somebody with their project or they're helping you with your project. First of all, you need to understand what your role is. Know your role. Stay in your place, basically. I mean, I can't say it any nicer way. If you're helping somebody with their project, then help them with their project. See what I'm saying? If someone's helping you with your project, they should understand that they're helping you with your project. They're helping you with your ideas, just like you might be helping them with their ideas. So you need to kind of go with their ideas, especially if it's like, if they already have like this, this collection, this group of people that already like what they've already been doing. You don't want to deviate from that too much. And you have to understand that that person knows what they're trying to actually make. That person is the developer or the artist of that piece of content. They know what they're doing. You shouldn't be trying to change what they're actually doing too much. Now, I normally, as you guys know, I will take suggestions, I will take recommendations, but I take them in. Like, I don't always have to actually do them. I do listen to them and consider them, though. As you guys know, as you guys have seen, I'll add them to that list and I'll add it into the games. And so, but if you want to change something too much, I'll be like, no, dude, I can't do that. And you've seen some drama on the website from certain users where I've been like, no, dude, I don't want to actually do that. And they've just gone on and on about it and made a lot of drama about it. And it's just like, you can't change it too much. You know, it's only a certain point of change. Like, Mako has hairpin. And has hairpin powers. She has powers. It's not just in Umi-chan. Mako class from cheaters is from other things as well. She's always had the hairpin. She's always had these powers. Now the guy I was working with was like, I don't really like the hairpin. I don't really like the powers. We should take that out because I don't know how well it's gonna sit with people. So I'm sitting here like, okay. I have people that like the work already and understand what's going on with Mako, and will understand the fact that she has hairpin powers. So what people are you talking about besides the people that already like what I'm doing? See what I'm saying? So this person, the quote-unquote cashier, is concerned about pleasing everyone. I guess that's what I'm trying to actually say. This cashier person is about pleasing the most amount of people, while the contractor guy is concerned about pleasing just the person that he's working for. The contractor is trying to appease the person that he's working for, and the cashier is trying to appease and trying to think about everybody. And since I'm the contractor type person, I don't care about everybody. I care about people who already like my work. I'm not trying to go out and appease everybody. You know, that's not possible. That's not, I want to say it's not possible. It's unlikely, highly unlikely. But it's less than worth doing. It's not feasible enough to actually bother trying to appease everybody. You're not going to be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? You want to appeal to people who already like your work, who already understand what's going on. And both people, or whoever is on your team, needs to understand that you're not trying to appeal to everybody. You're trying to appeal to just your fan base or a certain group of people. Like if you're doing a niche, you want to appeal to that niche. You don't want to try and appease everybody. So that's just the real contrast. So in summary, you know, figure out what you do for a living, figure out what they do for a living, you know, just ask them casually, you know, categorize yourself as the contractor, the gray area, like the bartender or something like that, or sales, and the quote unquote, the cashier. And so once you figure out that, you'll kind of figure out where you are. If you're the contractor and the other person is the cashier and it's black and white, cancel it, forget it. Don't even go into it with that person. Don't even begin the project with that person. I'm telling you, don't do it. But if that person is in the gray area a little bit, you want to make sure that they understand that we're not trying to appease everybody. We're sticking to the lore of this project, what we're actually doing. And with this previous guy that I was trying to work with, I made it very clear. We're making a Omi-chan Mako game. The character in question is Mako. Mako has certain properties. She has big breasts. She has these hairpin powers. She acts a certain kind of way. It's like taking Mario and saying, okay, fuck pipes. We're getting rid of his suspenders. We're shaving his mustache because I think more people will like him if he didn't have that. You know what I'm saying? No, dude, forget that. It's like taking Sonic. I don't think he should be as fast. It's not really fair to other people that he's running against. I don't really like the fact that he's blue. We should make him green. You know, change his eye color. I don't really like those gloves. You know what I'm saying? I think more people would like him if he didn't have gloves. You know, you shouldn't be going into a project making those type of radical suggestions at any point. You should never be doing that. Stick to the fan base. Stick to what people already like. People already like this as it is. You know what I'm saying? So stick to that. And you'll be able to work pretty well with that person. Hopefully. So this is my thoughts and analysis on working on a team. If you have any other ideas for thoughts and analysis, let me know in the comments. Let me know in the comments what you thought about my thoughts. And yeah, that's it. Yeah.